This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now, here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Let's talk about the Holy Father. On Sunday, Pope Francis, during his Angelus, he reflected on the gospel from St. John, talking about Jesus' miracle of the multiplication of the five loaves and two fishes to feed the 5,000. What is his message for all of us with that sermon?
Well, John, his message from the Angelus on Sunday was really summed up in a question that he posed to the faithful, which is, what do I bring to Jesus today? Pope Francis said that with a small offering, of course, we see that Jesus can do great things, just like we see when he multiplied the five loaves and three fish. And he said that even with anything small, a freely given offering to the Lord means that the Lord can take it and do great and marvelous things with it. Now, on Sunday, the Pope spoke about the scandal of poverty. He spoke about malnutrition in the world, especially among children. And he gave an invitation to all the faithful. And it was to be brave, to give what little you have, your talents and your possessions, to make them available to Jesus and to your brothers and sisters. And he went on to really assure all of the faithful not to be afraid as they do this. He said, nothing will be lost when you give, because if you share, God will multiply it. And also, he urged people to believe in the power of service and the strength of gratuitousness. Now, he asked also all the people gathered on Sunday in St. Peter's Square to offer a great big round of applause for grandparents, because Sunday was the first World Day of Grandparents and the Elderly. And this day was established close to the feast of the grandparents of Jesus, of St. Anne and Joachim. And the theme of this year's Grandparents Day was from Matthew 28:20. I am with you always. And Pope Francis said that grandparents and grandchildren together are one of the most beautiful faces of the church. And in a homily at Mass earlier that morning, Cardinal Fisichella read the Pope's homily and said that the Pope is worried about how an individualistic society, how it treats its older members. And he said that when people are in constant motion, when they're too caught up in their own affairs, too individualistic, and they don't have time to give a glance or a greeting or a hug, he said, then it's like surrendering to that notion of every man for himself. So he pointed out that often grandparents are hungering for our attention and our love, and that the gospel urges all to share all we have, all we possess. And when we do that, it is only at that time that we will find fulfillment. And finally, he gave an invitation to all of the faithful, inviting people to go ahead and visit the lonely, visit older members of our society, John.
Well, Ashley, I'm sure the Holy Father, who has such a heart for grandparents and the elderly, was saying this to really inspire young people around the world to just show a little bit of love and affection to older folks, especially during this last year and a half that so many elderly people have been secluded and unable to spend time with their loved ones. And so any update on the Holy Father's health? How's he doing now that he's been out for a little while from the hospital?
So, John, there's been no specific update or change other than the fact that he seems to be progressing as he ought to be in his healing process after that surgery. So we continue to watch and to hope that he is continuing along that trajectory of healing right now, John.
Ashley, on another note, a Vatican court on Tuesday opened proceedings against Italian Cardinal Angelo Becciu, the Pope's former chief of staff, and nine other defendants charged with fraud and embezzlement. What is going on with this Vatican fraud case? Many in the media are trying to describe this as the trial of the century. Is it really that big of a case?
Well, it is the largest trial for financial crimes in the modern era, and certainly within the Vatican court. And so what is happening right now is that this once powerful cardinal, Cardinal Becciu, he's second to the Pope in the hierarchy after the Secretary of State and second in the Secretary of State's office. He, as you mentioned, along with nine others, are on trial right now and accused of bleeding the Holy See of tens of millions of dollars in donations, specifically donations to Peter's Pence, which are meant to be donations to the poor. And instead, these were used for bad investments, for deals with money managers who were not operating in ethical ways, and also for favors to family and to friends. Now, all of these defendants will face prison sentences, will face fines, or even both if they end up being convicted. And so what's happening right now is, of course, yesterday, as this trial opened, it was in a modified courtroom in a room in the Vatican Museum. So it's like an all-purpose room, really. And Becciu and the others were seeing we're going to trial before lay judges. This is actually the first trial since Pope Francis changed the norms in April to allow cardinals and archbishops to be tried by lay judges. There were 30 lawyers present representing all of the different defendants and, of course, prosecutors. And this is the culmination. This trial is the culmination of this two-year investigation into what's been happening with this London real estate venture, a very flawed venture that comes to about 350 million euro that was sunk into it. And that all has now been exposed. And so what's being investigated is that, along with all of these other potentially criminal acts that have come to light as that investigation into the real estate deal started. So there has been a lot of damage to Vatican's finances, Vatican's reputation. There's been little oversight of them. There's been little expertise. And so yesterday at the trial, first of all, the defense attorneys did ask to go ahead and get a little pause before they go back to trial. So that was granted. And it's going to be October 5th. That they now go back. But in the meantime, they spoke about, for example, there is a Monsignor, his name is Alberto Perlasca, and he was the chief deputy at the Secretary of State. He did a five-part interview to try to reconstruct the events that revolved around Becciu, but there were all kinds of arguments going back and forth, some saying it was inadmissible because a lawyer wasn't present. Others were saying, no, this was videotaped, it was voluntary, it's fine. So these were the kinds of conversations that were being had yesterday. Cardinal Becciu himself told journalists there in the courtroom that he said he is obedient to the Pope and has always been. And he said he feels calm and he feels confident that the judges will be able to see the facts. And he also called himself innocent. So we will see what happens and, of course, continue to follow this breaking story, John.
How can we as Catholics put this case in perspective? Because it doesn't look good for our faith, for our church, for the Vatican.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the truth is that I think we're going to hear even more scandal that's breaking as part of it. I think it's going to be hard to hear some of the things that come out. But as far as putting it in perspective, John, I think this only goes to prove that Jesus' promise will prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail. And the church has to be the church instituted by Christ, because otherwise any other organization who had to deal with these kinds of internal problems would certainly have crumbled long before 2,000 years. So it's of course very hard to hear. It's tragic, but on the other hand, it, in a sense, it also bolsters our faith, John.
Absolutely. Our church is not just a sanctuary for saints, but a hospital for sinners, which all of us are. Ashley, a hero of our times has passed away, Rome's chef of the poor, leaving quite a legacy. Can you talk a little bit about this chef of the poor?
Yes. John, his name was Dino Impagliazzo, and he was called the chef of the poor because he was the founder of the Rome Amor Association. And every day here in Rome fed up to 300 homeless people in the city's train stations. Now, at the age of 91, he has passed away, and tributes have come in from all over the country, especially from politicians. For example, our mayor, Virginia Raggi, said that commended him for his work with the weakest, with the most fragile amongst us. In 2019, he received the Hero of Our Times Award from the Italian president. And how did this all start? Well, it all began back in 2007 when Dino was simply walking through the train station and a homeless man asked him for money to buy a sandwich. And with that on his heart, he decided to start making sandwiches every day to distribute to the poor. And he did it with the help of family and friends. And that led to the creation of the Roma Moore Association, which today has about 300 volunteers. And those volunteers plan to continue that beautiful legacy of charity and love, John.
Outstanding. Dino and Palacio, may he rest in peace. On the other hand, Italians are reacting with a wave of Green Pass protests across the country. What's going on, Ashley?
Yes. So actually, this past weekend, the protests kicked off through in about 100 cities and towns throughout the entire country of Italy. They've mostly been organized through social media, and they are to protest, as you mentioned, John, the Green Pass, and that requires a proof of vaccination, which means that from the 6th of August, it will be mandatory to have this Green Pass to do any kind of indoor dining in restaurants, to access museums, to go to concerts, weddings, cinemas, gyms, swimming pools, or sporting venues. So tens and tens of thousands of people, both vaccinated and non-vaccinated, have turned out, calling it, quote, a dictatorship of the Green Pass. And this all started a few days ago in Turin after our Prime Minister Draghi announced this. They sort of spontaneously, just a few hours after, this protest arose. And then the momentum has been going since then. When Draghi announced the Green Pass, he also said an invitation, quote, an invitation not to get vaccinated is an invitation to die, end quote. And of course, the press quickly shot back, pointing out the 99.007% recovery rate from the virus. And so protests are going on throughout Europe, probably the biggest in France, hundreds of thousands in attendance there. More and more protests are planned all week throughout Italy. And so we shall see what happens with this, John.
Well, there's a lot of folks here in Los Angeles, St. Louis, and other cities that are not real happy about the updated new mask mandates as well. And finally, how was the Feast of St. James celebrated in Italy? The feast actually fell on a Sunday, which obviously was a little different this year.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the most special celebrations that goes on is down in Sicily, and it's in a place called Caltagirone. And believe it or not, since the year 1090, they have been celebrating this great saint. And that was when the Count Roger actually asked that a sanctuary be built right there in the saint's honor. And so from the 11th to the 16th century, the feast took place in that very sanctuary. There was a beautiful statue of the apostle there, and that's how it was celebrated. But then in 1591, an external feast was started. And so what happens now is that on the vigil of the saint's feast day, they bring the statue out at midnight and process the statue through the streets and call out his name, Viva San Jacopo, or Viva Saint Giacomo, Saint James. And then there's outdoor music concerts, art exhibitions, and they actually put these beautiful candle lights, oil lamps, up and down the stairs of the basilica, where people walk up and down then to venerate the remains of this great saint. So a wonderful way to celebrate this great apostle, John.
Well, Ashley, as always, thanks so much for bringing Rome to home to our audience. Always a joy to be with you.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.